Welcome to this last session of Now is the Time of Monsters, the end of a three-day discussion and inquiry into questions about the nation state. On behalf of my fellow curators, Nana Heidenreich and Katrin Klingen, I'd like to thank all our co-organizers of this event, the technical teams, and everyone who has translated these sessions. Could you give them a round of applause, please? And our thanks above all to the participants who've brought all their passion and their brilliance to the consideration of this question. Thank you very much. It may have become clear over the last 3 days that we have inherited a language for talking about this question of the nation state, which comes from a long time ago. It is in many ways a 19th century language. And in the terms of that language, a very few countries are treated as exemplary, and everyone else is catching up or imitating those exemplary states. Britain and France established this discourse, and the US took it over. You may have heard various Americans at various times using the phrase, let's bomb them into the Stone Age. It was a phrase invented during the Vietnam War and has been used in several wars since, including for conversations about ISIS. And it's part of a discourse about the US that puts the US ahead of everybody else in time, and even possessing the technologies to move other countries back and forth along a timeline. The US possessed the ability to build up the technical facilities of another country and move it into the future, or to bomb it into the past. And the idea was that the US was at the very forefront of the timeline, and Europe was a few minutes behind, and then all the other countries were arrayed along a timeline going back into whatever, the Stone Age, the medieval period, or whatever time you chose. This was a metaphor, an ideology of how we should understand extremely complex questions. How should we understand the fact that some countries remain very rich and powerful and other countries never seem to catch up at all? It was a simple way of describing the complex relationships between states by organizing them along a single line of time. In fact, these countries, Britain, France, the US, are not exemplary at all. They're obviously completely exceptional. There's no reason why the rest of the world should ever catch up with superpowers. Superpowers are, by definition, unique and exceptional. And we might think of Syria, for instance, going back to a presentation from the last session, as a more normal or exemplary country. Syria was became independent from a European empire, which puts it in the vast majority of states. It had a military coup, which is also a very normal experience of people in the world. And it had a GDP which was pretty much in the middle of countries. So if we think about Syria as the quintessential, normal, central global experience, and not America, which whose cinema and television is insisting always that the American reality is the normal reality, then our 19th century language of nation states becomes very confusing and inadequate. If we think about the world like that, with Syria at the center, Syria is the representative experience, then the world seems far too complicated. And one of the reasons we live in a world of monsters is because we have decided to identify with monsters, because it makes everything much simpler. It reduces the terms and the number of things we have to think about if we think about the largest countries or the largest actors in the world as our friends and our exemplars. But the reality that is excluded by this false simplicity is returning, and our old language seems foolish. Our words and our symbols dry out, and our faith is exhausted in nations and ideals. The stars and moon fade, which once directed us to the future. And there are hallucinations of endings, suicides, and universal conflagration. But human life is not worn out. Only its symbols are worn out, and its mystery has faded with those symbols. We need new languages to speak of the new sensations of our time, the strange new realities and spaces of the 21st century. So to teach us how we may speak of the future, how we may despair better and hope better, I introduce our final two participants, the novelist and poet Anne Cotton and the artist and filmmaker Hito Steil, who will have the last words in this inquiry. Thank you.